Excommunication, written by Belladonna Wick and Eden is Falling, and read by Sunkitten Shash. An Only Friends Boston Nick fic, rated explicit. Additional tags, goodbyes, clothed sex, coming too quick, coming in pants, angst, top Nick, semi-public sex, tipsy sex. Nick knows he's a bit broken, more than a little fucked up, but after months of back and forth and miscommunication with Boston, he also knows he needs to find the strength to have respect for himself and for Boston, and let Boston go. He texts Boston the night before Boston is set to leave for New York. It's been weeks of radio silence since that last night, the night when Nick had finally realized he and Boston were not only on different pages, they were reading from different books. Boston isn't ready for the sort of commitment Nick is seeking, and Nick is finally ready to love himself enough to walk away. Nick loves Boston enough to walk away for his benefit, too. But apparently he isn't above texting Boston one final time before he leaves, to see if he might want to meet up. They both know what meeting up really means historically. No, it will mean what it has always meant for them. They might talk a little, might even have a meal together, but their hangouts always end in sex and Nick's heart breaking just that little bit more when he leaves or when Boston does. Nick lies to himself about a lot when it comes to Boston, and as he gets ready to meet him at a bar, the latest lie Nick tells himself is this is just to say goodbye. This meetup won't end in sex, Nick tells himself, even though he picked a bar he knows has a few single-stall bathrooms perfect for hooking up in. He won't tell Boston he loves him, even though it'll threaten to drop from his tongue consistently throughout the night, and Nick will have to bite it bloody to stop himself. He won't cry about this tomorrow morning, or the next few days after, and that is a big fat lie, because Nick has cried about this since he walked away from everyone under a firework bright sky and with his heart disintegrating. He had been able to tell Boston off and hand back the picture, proud of himself for finally being able to let Boston go, and assure both of them he'd be better off going it alone than with a boy pretending to be faithful to his daydreams. That had lasted until Nick woke up alone on New Year's Day and couldn't get the last few remnants of Boston out of his head and heart. Nick knows it's sad, beyond pathetic, really, to let his hopes rise when Boston texts him and tells him he's a few minutes away from the bar. But it's the night before Boston leaves for Bangkok, for who knows how long, and Nick has stayed acquaintances enough with everyone to know Boston was at a going-away party, one he's left to meet up with Nick. Doesn't that say anything about what you mean to him? Nick's heart says. The fucking liar that it is. Nick sits at a table in a dark corner of the bar with a clear view of the door, and all the lies he's built around himself like a shield to guard his heart all come crashing down the moment Boston walks inside, looking just as beautiful and above it all as he always has. But he also looks different. Not lonely, necessarily, but a little lost. Like he's as unsure as Nick is about why they're even here. But he came. He fucking came, and Nick's heart breaks all over again when he realizes this will be the last time he sees Boston, maybe forever. Boston scans the crowd for a few seconds before he finds Nick, a small smile twisting his lips up, but it doesn't meet his eyes. Nick knows if he were to look in a mirror, he'd see a similar smile on his own face, and he pushes that thought away, just like he's pushed all the others away, into that deep, hidden place inside of him he doesn't let himself look at. He lifts his beer in a salute, and Boston crosses the room in a matter of seconds, settling into the booth across the table from Nick. A respectable distance, Nick thinks, but something in him yearns for more. Wishes Boston had sat next to him, had put a proprietary arm around Nick's shoulder like he used to. A gesture that had meant nothing to Boston, but everything to Nick. A sense of ownership, even if that had also been a lie. I'm kind of surprised you came, Nick says, after Boston says thanks for the beer Nick's been saving for him, the only word Boston has said. He shrugs, nonchalance in everything but how he actually feels underneath the measured surface, and his eyes are like black holes swallowing the smoke-filtered lights in the bar as they take in Nick's face. I am too, to be honest, Boston says, that little crooked grin of his flashing behind the brown glass lip of the bottle he swigs from again. Thought I might owe it to you, considering... well... Nick lets the sting of that hit him fully. Boston still sees him as somewhat of a chore or obligation, and Nick knows he does, but it'll never not burn somewhere inside his ribs to be reminded of it. But he's able to smile and shake his head. Been over and done with that idea, Ton. You don't owe me a damn thing. Never did. Can't I just treat you to a beer and wish you luck? Boston's face tells Nick he knows that's a lie, too, that Nick's over it completely, or that they can act like Boston doesn't know he doesn't owe Nick anything, but Nick still feels entitled anyway. But Boston simply downs the rest of his beer and softens his look a little, keeping his eyes on Nick's as he waves a server over to order another round. At some point, they transition from beer to shots, and Nick knows it's a bad idea to mix beer and liquor, especially when Nick's self-control regarding Boston is concerned, but he accepts the little rows of multicolored shots placed in front of him with not a single protest. You gotta do them in order. Red, yellow, then green, Boston instructs, and Nick laughs. I know how to do traffic light shots, Ton. Ready? Nick picks up the first shot with only a second of hesitation, the red liquid sloshing dangerously up the side of the glass. He's done these before, and he knows they're deceptive and can easily knock you on your ass if you let yourself be tricked by the sweet, sticky taste. John Cow, Boston says, holding his shot up and downing it in one swallow, Nick following him. They go through all three shots before they start on the second row without pause. Three sets later, and Nick is already feeling it a bit, his thoughts hazy and warm, and his body going lax and pliant in his seat. Boston scoots closer on the booth seat, not close enough to touch Nick, but closer than he had been across the table. Nick lets him, his closeness comforting and familiar, even if Boston doesn't belong to him, and never will. It's probably the alcohol, and a decent amount of sheer willpower, even though his fingers itch to reach over and touch the side of Boston's neck. But Nick lets the silence linger at the table, just as Boston does. He used to talk a lot to fill the quiet between them sometimes, as if by speaking it would influence Boston, normally fairly taciturn, to open up to Nick in return. Nick would share everything. Stories about growing up, his favorite things from constellations to types of chilies to time of day at the store. I know, Boston would say, brow furrowed as he concentrated on cleaning his camera or developing photos with a painstaking care the likes of which he gave nothing else. Dromeda, Prickywalk, late Thursday mornings. Be quiet for a minute, Nick. Let me concentrate. Now, Nick is quiet. He's going to let it be enough that Boston came at all tonight. He closes his eyes and tilts his head back, lets his shoulders fall and sway to the beat of the music playing. This was stupid. He's a little drunk, and Boston's leaving, and they're sitting here quiet. Nick should have stayed home, or maybe deleted Boston's number one of the 36 times he tried to. "So, this isn't some goodbye fuck?" Boston asks suddenly, and Nick opens one eye to look at him. He remembers Boston was at another party before coming here, as he takes in the flush creeping down from his ears to the side of his neck, and Nick can't imagine anyone in the world who would board an international flight with the hangover Boston's likely going to have tomorrow, other than Boston. "No," Nick wants to say, because he can't forget that one time it was so fucking sweet with Boston. The night he thought they had finally broken through all the bullshit. The night Boston fucked him slow and deep and kissed him the entire time, like Nick was the very thing Boston needed to drink from and breathe in to survive. All honeyed water and crystal air. "Yes," Nick wants to say, because he can't forget the first few times, frenetic and hurried and so fucking hot with Boston, when Nick had been turned inside out with pleasure, and let the boy with the sharp eyes and wicked little grin tell him he wanted to take Nick's picture, and Nick had had enough foolish optimism to let himself feel like Boston found him a beautiful enough muse to keep. "Is that what you came here for?" is what Nick says, because it's so typically Boston, and it's so typically him to want Boston to want him one last time. Boston's slight smirk tilts down a little at the corners of the question, like he's not sure how to answer. Like maybe he's been lying to himself just as much as Nick does. Another selfish, hopeless fantasy for Nick to chide himself for. "I don't know," Boston answers, instead of the yes Nick had been expecting, or the no he had almost been hoping for. His heart is a paradox trapped in the bone cage of his chest, sometimes barely beating, and sometimes beating such a rapid cadence against his ribs, he thinks he might die from it. "I wanted to see you," Boston continues, taking another slightly wobbly swig from his beer before realizing it's empty. He sets it down, but doesn't take his hand off the glass, looking at Nick, as though Nick might have the answer to the question Boston hasn't even asked yet. "I wanted to see you too. Wish you luck before you go." Nick's confession is only half the truth, and they both know it. Just like Nick knows Boston came for that final fuck, even if he wants to convince himself he came for other reasons he doesn't even understand. Just like Nick wants to trick himself into believing he only wanted to see Boston one last time, so they could leave things in a better place before they were separated by an entire world of physical distance, stretching between the spaces of the emotional distance they already found themselves on opposite sides of. They fall into silence again, and just as Boston is making eyes towards the exit, or maybe the man standing near it with a nose ring and the hungry gaze that has been on Boston for the last half hour, Nick makes his choice. "All right, fuck this. Come on, Ton." He slides out of the booth, ignoring the way Boston's grin spreads lazily across his face, as though he's won a cheap prize at a carnival through nothing but sheer dumb luck, and heads towards the back of the bar, knowing Boston will follow him. As they enter the narrow hallway leading to the restrooms, Nick's got about 20 seconds to think about how he wants this to actually go down, before Boston will shove him into the first empty bathroom and push him into the wall. And he's so used to that, has been craving having it again for weeks, that it'll feel like slipping into something familiar and known. But Nick doesn't want that, not for the last time. And when it's Nick that ends up shoving Boston through the first open door, and then slamming it shut by swinging Boston into it after they're both in the cramped toilet, a look like a comet streaking through the sky passes over Boston's face, that might suggest that he wants something different, too. Nick has missed the way Boston feels, of course, and he savors it all again, even as they hurry through rough kisses and even rougher hands. "So this is how you wish someone luck?" Boston jokes, and instead of looking away and telling him to shut up, Nick turns Boston to press him face first against the door. "No, this is," Nick says, looking at the sweat on the back of Boston's neck, and wishing he had had even an ounce of this sudden, bizarre bravery at some point when it might have changed something. At some point when it might have made him more desirable to Boston, where it might have smoothed out their rougher edges that don't quite fit together, and helped them make things work anyway. Boston moans when Nick bites down on his nape, so Nick does it again, harder, but not hard enough to leave a mark. He knows Boston doesn't like visible marks, but Boston surprises him again by leaning into the touch. "Do it, leave a bruise," Boston groans, cheek pressed against the door and his fingers sliding down the smooth surface. Nick doesn't hesitate this time, leaning back in to seal his lips over Boston's neck while he sucks a mark into his skin. He tries not to think about how it'll linger for days after, a world apart but a piece of Nick still staining Boston, the way Nick knows Boston will stay tucked away inside of him as well. Nick works his hand between Boston and the door, palming over his bulge through his tight pants. He's barely even started grinding his hand over it when Boston shudders in his hold, and Nick can feel his cock pulse as he spills into his underwear, Boston's surprised gasp swallowed up by Nick's own. "Did you just come?" Nick asks, more than a little surprised. Boston can usually go for ages without coming, has brought Nick to orgasm 3 or more times in one night before finally finding his own release. So it's more than a little shocking to have the obvious evidence of his orgasm sitting warm and wet underneath Nick's palm. "I'm a little drunk," Boston mumbles, "but he's such a liar. Nick knows intimately well that when he has liquor in him, Boston takes forever to come. There's always going to be a nasty little voice in Nick's head when it comes to Boston, one that is sinister even with its small size, as it tells Nick that Boston was probably about to hook up with someone else before he came to meet Nick, that he had been keyed up for a while, that this release wasn't about Nick himself, but could have been anyone's hand. But Boston's been with Nick for nearly 2 hours now, and he's hardly looked at anyone else." Boston meets Nick's eye, even though it's embarrassing, and there's the usual defiance just waiting for the match strike that will push him into furious defensiveness. There's also something new there, something like surprise that Nick recognizes as his own, because Boston... Nick doesn't even know how to finish that, because a decent part of Boston will always remain one of life's greatest mysteries to him. The problem for Nick is that he's always wanted to solve the unsolvable, and he reaches back down, this time to nudge Boston's thighs apart with his forearm, before reaching under and cupping him from behind. "You like this?" It makes things slide into place so abruptly that Nick is dizzy with it. Or maybe it's the liquor finally catching up with him as well, and he presses his forehead down in the middle of Boston's back. "It's part of why he wanted Top so much, isn't it?" "Fuck Top," Boston gasps out, as Nick kneads slightly, roughly working him back into hardness, and Nick laughs and bites the ridge of bone against his cheek, Boston sagging at the teeth in his shoulder blade. "Yeah, you already did that, hmm? That's okay. I've forgiven you for that, Boston." As he says it, he realizes it's true. He's forgiven Boston for everything, mostly to protect his own heart from breaking over and over again, and partially as a way to exercise his remaining feelings. Boston doesn't owe him anything, never did, and Nick owes himself the ability to forgive and move on. Boston tries to press back against Nick's call, and Nick shifts his hips away with a firm, "Be still." He's hard, has been the entire time, but he doesn't want to come. He doesn't want to erase the memory of their last time together with whatever this is. Doesn't want that experience replaced with a quick, half-drunken fumble in a bar bathroom. "I'm going to make you come again. Just stand there and let me," Nick commands, and Boston goes even more liquid and pliant against him. Perhaps it was truer than Nick even knew that this is what Boston needed all along, a firm hand and someone to tell him what to do. But Nick can't be that for Boston. Can't be anything for Boston. Not permanently. Not how Nick needs. So he'll take this moment in time instead. He makes Boston come two more times, until he's boneless and leaning heavily against the stall door, almost unable to hold himself up on shaky legs. Nick again thinks about how maybe if he had brought this out, had left Boston panting and glassy-eyed more often in this way, everything might have been different. But it again morphs into the thought of, this is not who I can be, not entirely. And because he isn't, Nick folds Boston into his arms one last time, and kisses him behind the ear, just once. "Thank you for seeing me before you leave. I hope New York opens all the doors you want and need it to," Nick murmurs, and Boston might say something back, but Nick is opening the bathroom door, and walking through it and away before the words register, merging with the music and the background noise of a true last time. The end. Thanks for listening.